This morning, I want you to open the Bible to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Habakkuk is one of the smallest books in our Bible, but yet it is filled with great truth and power that literally God has used to shape and change me in many ways, and I believe God has used to give our church a vision and a direction for our future. I know that you're familiar with movies and theater, and perhaps you recognize the term flashback. Oftentimes, a flashback is used to help people to provide background and information for them to be able to understand the story of the movie or the play that they're watching. For example, you may begin watching a show on television or a movie, or be sitting at the theater, and all of a sudden, the characters appear to be discussing something that occurred previous in time. And the intent is to provide a flashback to bring the audience to the current reality of what predicated where they are today. In many ways, what I'm trying to do today in this message is to provide a flashback, and I hope that this flashback will help those of you that are new to Temple Baptist Church in the last year, and perhaps those that have come in the last couple of years, and then for all of us who have been here for any length of time, to better know and understand what God is doing and where God is taking us in the life of our church. I had a flashback experience on Friday night, and I'm not talking about a flashback like someone might have from post-traumatic stress syndrome or when someone has been on drugs and have a relapse of flashback into an experience like that. But this actually happens to me every single time that I drive by a Crystal Hamburger restaurant. No, it really does. And you've heard my story. I've shared with you, if you're new and you've not heard my story, I came to faith in Christ because of a friend that sat down with me in the parking lot of a Crystal Hamburger restaurant and presented the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to me. And every time I drive by or through the parking lot of a Crystal Hamburger restaurant, in some ways I'm drawn to go in, but more than anything else, I am reminded, I can't get out of my mind. I can't not go back to that Friday night when Jesus changed my life. I don't know where I would be. I don't want to think where I might have ended up if Jesus had not invaded my life, drawn me to himself, and called me to be his child, and saved me from my sin. I will never, and I never want to get over flashing back to what Jesus has done for me. Do you feel the same way this morning? About 3 years ago, as a church leadership and as a church, we were seeking the Lord and we were asking him to give us direction. I mean, we want to be a spirit-led, soul-winning, disciple-making, God-glorifying, devil-stomping church that touches the world. That was weak. Let me try this again. It meant something to me when I wrote it down, so let's try it again. We want to be a spirit-led, soul-winning, disciple-making, God-glorifying, devil-stomping church that touches the nations for the glory of God. And that led us to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This same thing is said in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And then Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And it was this verse that really began to burn in our hearts, and it began to light a fire to believe that God was strengthening our faith and our courage to literally saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were impacted and inspired by this late 7th and early 6th century prophet by the name of Habakkuk. Habakkuk's name means embracer. And it may well be that he was given that name because Habakkuk would be a man that embraced God greatly. Habakkuk served with contemporaries like Nahum and Jeremiah. It was a terrible time. It was a tough time. The southern kingdom of Judah was facing demise because the kingdom was corrupt, filled with immorality and idolatry. And when you read the book of Habakkuk, it's broken down very simply. The first two chapters are this intense dialogue between the prophet Habakkuk and God. And then the third chapter is an expression of Habakkuk's praise for what God showed him and how God impacted his life. It's interesting because Habakkuk asked the same questions that many of us perhaps ask today. Habakkuk wanted to know, God, why do you allow evil to prosper so much? Everywhere he looked, there was evil and immorality and ungodliness. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, he asks his question, and beginning in chapter 5 and going through chapter 1, verse 5, going through verse 11, God gives his answer to Habakkuk. He doesn't give Habakkuk the answer that Habakkuk wanted, but he answers him. And then, beginning in verse 12, Habakkuk asks the second question, because God said, look, Habakkuk, I'm doing things you can never totally comprehend. I'm working in ways that you cannot even imagine. And then he tells Habakkuk, I see the immorality. I see the ungodliness. I see the evil in the land. But I'm going to bring an even more ungodly people called the Chaldeans, whose king was Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to bring him and his armies, and they're going to invade Jerusalem. They're going to carry the people off into captivity. And so Habakkuk asked the question, God, not only are why you allowing evil to persist and exist, but God, why are you going to use an even more evil people? Why are you using them to punish your children? And then in chapter 2, in verse 2, God, through verse 20, answers him. Habakkuk was strengthened in his faith and emboldened in his courage after seeking the Lord. 3 years ago, we found ourselves seeking the Lord desperately to say, God, where do you want us to be as a people? Where are you taking our church? And we came away with this sense that God was strengthening our faith and emboldening our courage so that we would carry out what God had called us to do in spite of everything that we see around us in the world and in the culture. Now, let me give you a statement. When you see God, you're changed. We don't want you to come here and see Daryl Kraft and Paul doesn't want you to come here and see the choir or the musicians. I want to tell you, he's not interested in you looking at him or them. We're all up here, and our whole desire is to get your attention off of us and to get all of our attention off of ourselves and to get us looking upward to him. Because when you see God, you're changed. And not only when do you see God are you changed, but when you see others in the world through the lens of God's eyes, you're changed. See, sometimes we look at the world and we look at others through our own eyes, and we see them through the lens of our culture, our traditions, or our wrong teaching. And what God did for Habakkuk was God gave him a glimpse of God himself, but then God also allowed Habakkuk to have the perspective of seeing things the way God sees them. If you look in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, this is what we did 3 years ago, basically. Habakkuk, hearing God's response to his complaints, says, I'm going to stand on my guard post, and I'm going to station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. So Habakkuk goes to God, and he seeks God, and when he seeks God, he teaches us some things that you and I should do in seeking the Lord. The first thing that Habakkuk did was he got himself in the right position. I'm going to stand my guard post. I realize that every now and then everybody misses church for good reasons, but I just want to say I'm glad I didn't miss January the 21st when Junior Hill was here. Amen. Be in the right position. Then he said, I'm going to station myself on the rampart. He's talking about the wall. I'm in the right position, but then I'm also in the right place. You got to get yourself in the right position, and you've got to get yourself in the right place to see God working and to hear God speak. And then notice, it's very interesting. He says, I'm going to keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Normally, when we say, I want to hear God speak to me, we say, I am listening for God to speak. Habakkuk did not say, I'm listening for God to speak. What he said was, I am watching to see what God is going to say to me. Why did he say it that way? Why did he use not the ears, but the eyes? Here's why. Sometimes you may not hear his voice, but you can see the impact of the wind of the Spirit of God at work. Not only do you have to have the right position and the right place, but you've got to have the right perspective. 3 years ago, as we began this journey, I want to tell you what God did for me, in me, and through me in leading our church in this endeavor. I believe that God strengthened our faith and emboldened us to saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not familiar with the term saturate, it literally comes from Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled, saturated with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's no place that the water doesn't cover the sea. And we believe that God was saying to us that we needed to be faithfully, courageously doing everything we could to take the gospel to all of the ends of the earth, that everybody in the Pine Belt and everybody around the world that God would let us touch could be impacted by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we believe with all of our hearts that there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And so we began Saturate. Saturate is Temple's 5-year strategic plan to saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel. We began a Saturate funding initiative, which is a 2-year financial plan that enables us to fund the initial stages of this Saturate vision. Now, if you haven't gotten one, we're having them updated, but we also have online our Saturate booklets that you can go and read all about this, because I don't have time to tell you everything today. But what I can tell you is that we are now 1 year in our Saturate funding initiative. And I want to thank God, and I want to thank you, and I want to praise His holy name for the generosity of His people, because when we look at this, it is amazing. During 2017, because of your generosity, the generosity of God's people through Temple Baptist Church, you gave 25.58% more than you did the previous year. That is amazing. Yeah, give Him praise. You may well remember that we have what's called the One Fund Giving Model. The One Fund Giving Model enables us to see that everything we do is missional. As a part of this, we challenged each of us to increase our financial support with a 2-year commitment to the Lord's work through our church. In other words, we said to our church family, look, you think about what you normally give, you think about what you give to our missions offerings, and you total those up, and then you pray and you ask God what He wants you to give above that, and you make a commitment for 2 years. There are some of you that have not made that commitment, or you're new to the church, and you need to join in with what God is doing in this. And in that One Fund model, we said that we're not going to take up a bunch of offerings during the year. We're not going to any longer have the harvest offering, but we're going to all come together and we're going to give every Sunday faithfully, consistently, and generously. And you know what you did last year? You fully funded the budget. You set aside an additional $150,000 for our normal missions offerings like Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, and the state mission offering. You gave above what goes to debt in our budget $873,486. When you add what we give through our budget, our operating budget, we reduced our debt last year almost $2 million. Today, our debt stands at only $7.9 million, when at one time it was well above that. And you say, well, what does all this matter? It matters because our intent is not just to get rid of debt. Our intent is to release funds from debt resources to put back into missions so that we can saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our intent was that you would see God do not only amazing works around the world, but here also. In the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear story after story of what God has already done, but what we're seeing God do in the future. You know, in that bucket of One Funds, we have the operating budget, we have the missions bucket, and that's just to those special offerings. We have our debt bucket where we're paying down our debt, and then we have our project bucket so that this year we're going to be able to pay for by cash, no borrowing, but by cash, the renovation and repurposing of our A building so that our recreational ministries can more effectively carry the gospel and invite our community. You'll hear more about that in the days to come, but I'm telling you, it's because God's people have on their heart that this community needs Jesus, and we must take Jesus to the nations. Praise God for that. Now, as a church, our passion is to see life change, and we have three core values that drive that: life worship, life together, and life mission. So what is the purpose of Saturate? We're providing a clear path for sustaining, growing, and expanding our church's ability to impact the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel. How are we going to do that? We said there were three key elements to this. One was sending. Next week, you're going to hear about what the Bible says about being a sent one, and you're going to hear stories of people that have been sent. I want you to find your place in this vision to make an impact. I want you to think about how many of you have been involved in neighborhood outreach in 2017. I'm curious, how many of you went on a mission trip, either locally, nationally, or internationally, out of Temple Baptist Church during 2017? Would you stand up this morning? If you went on a mission trip, locally, nationally, or internationally, would you stand up right now? Let's praise God for all of these people that went out and did what God had called them to do. You're going to hear about praying. And you're going to hear about how our prayer ministry is so critical. We believe that we must be a church that has a culture of prayer, that if you have a need, we pray about it. If God calls us to a vision, we're going to pray about it. We're going to be a people where prayer is a high priority in the life of our church. You're going to hear about giving and how it's impacted lives through Temple Baptist Church. I want you to understand that your staff does not believe that it's our job to figure out the church's agenda. I like what Henry Blackaby said. God's concern is not to advance a leader's dreams and goals or to build their kingdoms. God's purpose is to turn his people away from their self-centeredness and their sinful desires and to draw them into a relationship with himself. Too often, people assume that along with the role of the leader comes the responsibility of determining what needs to be done. They develop aggressive goals, they dream grandiose dreams, they cast grand visions, and then they pray and ask God to join them in their agenda and to bless their efforts. That's not what spiritual leaders should do. Spiritual leaders should seek God's will, and then they marshal people to pursue God's plan. I want you to know that everything that we're doing as a church should not and cannot find its source within me. Our desire as your staff team, your pastors, is that we seek the face of Almighty God. And that when God shows us, when we do what Habakkuk did, when we stand on our guard post, when we station ourselves on the rampart, we keep watch and we wait for God to speak. And I want to tell you, when 3 years ago we began this process and we launched Saturate in January 2016, and then we launched the funding initiative in January 2017, I believe with all of my heart that this was birthed not from some scheme that we came up with, not because we're clever or we're great leaders. It came because God put a burden on our heart that the world needs Jesus Christ, and God has called us to saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's young men like the 23-year-old young man I met this week. I can't call his name because I want to go see him again, but he knows nothing of Jesus Christ. He's moved here from the Northeast. Or like the young lady this week that I met, who she's 21 years old. She's not in anybody's church. And I say, oh God, they need a flashback to a Crystal Hamburger restaurant just like I did. And God has brought us to this place, not because we're smart, but because God puts a burden in our heart. And that's what we want you to know. You're going to hear next week about Rochester. Rochester, New York, and how God has brought into the life of our church the opportunity to very likely plant a work in a very needy city in the United States. My objective today is very simple. I want to strengthen your faith and embolden your courage as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to show you three quick things that Habakkuk has taught us. Number one, in spite of the present condition of the culture, God's kingdom will prevail. When you study the book of Habakkuk was sad and forlorn and discouraged, and God showed Habakkuk, don't get dismayed by what you see. I got to tell you, if I listen to the news too long, I get upset. I'm so tired of how divided our nation is. The State of the Union address this week, it didn't matter what was said or what wasn't said. It didn't matter if you were for or against. It just revealed the animosity and the angst in our nation. And I'm telling you, the answer for that is not for politicians to cross the aisle. The answer is for the gospel to be mighty and men's hearts to be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. The racism, the hatred, the anger, all of the attitudes that so stem in our society, the abuse of other people, the beating down of others, the disdain for others, all of the things that we see, the issue is the sinful heart of man. It's not more laws, it's not more legislation, it's that the church would be the mighty wind of the Spirit of the living God, and we would penetrate this community, we would penetrate this culture, and we would know beyond any shadow of a doubt that no matter what we see with our eyes, we are listening for the Lord to speak to us, because the gospel is mighty to save, and it changes those who repent and believe. That's what God is saying to us. S.M. Lockridge, you know him because of his sermon, That's My King. I can't preach like S.M. Lockridge, but I was listening to Chuck Kelly. Gary put me on something down at the seminary, and I heard Chuck Kelly quote S.M. Lockridge. So I went and listened to S.M. Lockridge's sermon, Jesus is Lord. And in that sermon, he talked about people who think that they can destroy Jesus' power. He said, Jesus Christ is Lord. If you wanted to destroy his power, what would you use for power? If you tried to destroy him with fire, he'd refuse to burn. If you tried to destroy him with water, he would walk on the water. If you tried to destroy him with the law, you'd find no fault in him. If you tried to destroy him with the storm, even the tempest would lay down at his feet and lick his hands like a cat. If you try to destroy him with the grave, he'll rise from the dead. If you try ignoring or rejecting him, a small, still voice will whisper, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is Lord. And what Habakkuk came to see, listen to this. Habakkuk came to understand and see that no matter what the circumstances are around us, God's kingdom will prevail. The scary thing is, those who resist God are storing wrath for themselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed in Romans 2:5. So, in spite of the circumstances and conditions of the culture, I want to give you some good news today. God's kingdom will prevail. The second thing we learn from Habakkuk is that in light of God's power, we're to live by faith. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he gives us a foreglimmering of what the Bible would speak of over and over again. In Hebrews, it speaks of it. And over again in Romans, it speaks of it. The word in Habakkuk 2, 4 says, the just shall live by what? Say it loudly. Faith. Now, what's interesting is that word is not the same word for the word that we get our word faith in the New Testament. The word in the Hebrew language literally is more of the word of faithfulness. The just shall live by faithfulness. It's not just that we have faith, but it's that faith has an impact in everything we do and everything that we say. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Romans 1:17 says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. So what I pray you'll take away with you today is this: God's kingdom is going to prevail. We're on the winning side. We have hope in Jesus Christ. I hope you'll leave here today and you'll say, I want to live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. In a land and a culture of unfaithfulness, in a community where there is so much unfaithfulness, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that what you're going to say today? I pray it is. There's a third thing that Habakkuk teaches us. When you get to Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk has heard from the Lord. He has turned his eyes away from the struggles and the disappointments and the discouragements of life. And he has set his attention and affection that we spoke about last week on the living God. He said, God, I believe you that your kingdom will prevail. And Lord, I'm going to live by faith. But then he says, in sight of God's promises, I'm going to live courageously. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were brought before the leaders. And the Bible says, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. The word for confidence is translated in the English Standard Version as boldness. In the 1900 King James Version, it is translated boldness. But what's interesting is this word that is translated confidence or boldness is a word that means someone who is willing to risk and to enter into danger. I would say to you and submit to you today that the reason that God has been blessing our church in the way that he has is because so many of you have been walking by faith and have been living courageously, stepping out of your comfort zones and seeking to make a difference for the glory of God. And I am grateful for that. And I want to encourage you, in sight of the promises of God, when you read Habakkuk chapter 3, it goes like this. He saw God's person in verses 1 through 3. He saw God's power in verses 4 through 7. He saw God's purpose in chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. And then he saw God's presence in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And he ends his writing with this. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me walk on my high places. And Habakkuk is saying, I'm going to live by faith, but I'm going to live courageously in that faith because I am confident that my God will prevail. And I want us to be that kind of church. And I wanted to just have a flashback. And I wanted to come and I wanted to say to you, the greatest need that we find is not greater teaching. It's not more information. It's the power of a spirit-filled Christian who walks out of here on a daily basis with the power of the gospel burning in their heart because they know what it's like to be changed. And they love the Lord Jesus Christ so much that when they see the world
Instead of us complaining or criticizing the world and its lostness, we have compassion and we weep for the lostness around us. And we say, God, I want to live by faith and I want to live courageously so that I can take the gospel to my neighbor, to my family, and literally wherever, God, you want me to go. And I'll tell you why they need it. Because if we don't get them looking to Jesus and they look around, people have no hope. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. I want us to be a church that is spirit-led, soul-winning, disciple-making, God-glorifying, devil-stomping, making an impact and seeing life change. This morning, there are people, the most courageous thing that you need to do is to get out of your seat and come to the altar. Take a pastor by the hand and say, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to be. Some of you need to come today and just kneel at the altar and say, God, I realize that my faith has been kind of a segment of my life, but it's not been who I am. You know you're saved. You know you belong to Jesus. But you've grown stale. And you just need to have an experience like Habakkuk did, like Isaiah did. And you need to see the Lord afresh. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I am grateful for what he's doing in our church, aren't you? How's God speaking to you this morning? Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. I want us to saturate the Pine Belt and the world with the gospel. Father, today, God, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for changing my life. I don't ever want to get over it. God, would you fill this altar with men and women, deacons, Bible fellowship teachers, boys and girls who just are crying out to God for people who need Jesus. I ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Let's sing, You Come.